Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network studios, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean Noble.
And I'm Chris Clements.
And it is Thursday. What is the date today? February 1st. You know, we're in February already.
It seems like every week we say the same thing, but can you believe all that's happening?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's rewind the tape. Last week we talked about, the week before last. So the stuff we talked about last week was DeSantis dropping out, Nikki Haley coming in second in New Hampshire, you know, Trump marching towards the nomination, Nikki staying in.
And she's going to stay in at least through Super Tuesday.
And then the leaked tape that Carrie Lake did on Jeff DeWitt and my explanation of what my tape would be if it gets leaked.
Yes.
Because I had lunch with her and told her not to run for the Senate. So we talked about that. And then since then, we've had the state meeting. We have a new chairwoman. And the interesting thing is that what I've picked up is that this woman, everybody says she's pretty solid. Her name is Gina Swabido. And she was the Trump team's pick. And
which means she was Carrie Lake's pick.
No. That's the intrigue. She was not Carrie Lake's pick. Carrie Lake's pick was Jim O'Connor, the corporation commissioner.
Yeah.
So this whole thing was supposed to install Jim O'Connor because he had a slate and everything blew up because Trump team said, we're not going that direction. We're going this direction. So that, in my mind, tells me that all is not well in the Trump Carrie Lake relationship right now.
So I took another listen to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
She knew he was coming. She knew what he was going to be talking to her about. Her responses to Jeff were very canned and very performative and very prepared.
Yep.
And that came across. Nobody else has said that for whatever reason that I've seen. But that came across to me immediately, and then I went back and listened to it again, and I go, no, I think I'm right on this. She knew he was coming. She knew what he was going to be talking to her about. She purposely taped him to entrap him in this narrative, you know, and he says that it's, you know, poorly edited, and there's other things there. He resigned, and then apparently, as reported by the Republic and others, was going to unresign leading up to the meeting, but thought better of it.
Well, I think actually what I had heard is that he was not going to resign, and then he was told by the Lake team, well, we'll release
more
even
tapes.
Worse tapes.
But even then, when he was talking to his deputies, he thought about not just standing firm and fighting, is my understanding. You know, if I'm wrong, you know, call me out on it. That's fine. But the thing is, and I think what's driving now the facts that you're presenting is if you're Donald Trump and you're listening to this and you're hearing all this, and he canceled his appearance at the state meeting, the fundraiser.
That he was supposed to be in Phoenix the day before at a big massive fundraiser. Yeah, canceled it.
And that blew everything up even more. What a mess the Republican Party is in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
It's just a complete leaderless mess. Now, I wish the new leader well, but it's going to be...
It'll be challenging because you have a lot of infighting. I mean, the state meeting was a mess. I mean, it went on for hours.
Yeah,
because
you had adjourn until late at night.
Yeah, you had factions fighting each other, which is, you know, I remember years ago being at state meeting and there'd be some faction that was throwing bombs. I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, there's always going to be somebody that's that much more crazy.
It's that guy.
Than the rest, right?
You're that guy.
It doesn't matter how crazy it gets. There's still more crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember, and I tweeted this, I remember the good old days when you could have a state meeting, you could elect a chairman, and you could go to lunch. They didn't even start voting until after 4 p.m.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing didn't get adjourned until like 9 p.m.
Well, I mean, Trump, you know, canceling too kind of blew the whole meeting up from the beginning.
Yeah, so the peep, the
what, and, what, everybody got scrambling is what I've read.
What I can't figure out, and this is why this is why it's evident that there's some tension in Trump world over what Kerry did. Jeff DeWitt was the first statewide elected official to endorse President or then Donald Trump candidate in 2015. Jeff DeWitt was the first statewide.
You said it last week. He has been consistently in the Trump camp.
From day one. Oh, before anybody else.
And by the way, what he was talking to Kerry Lake about, everybody gets talked to about in politics. You know,
right.
Hey, do you really think it's your time to run? Is now really the time? Is there, you know, something else you can do or someplace we can put you for the time being until we can't, you know, until your opportunity to win is most assured?
I'm gonna make a prediction.
And so I texted out to you and to other people and like, congratulations to Kyrsten Sinema.
I mean,
because if she does really want to run and run hard, that middle lane is wide open.
It's just become, the release of this tape was a strategic error by Kerry Lake because it's now made Kyrsten Sinema even more viable.
Oh, and you have to wonder, I mean, if she's taping everybody, did she tape Donald Trump?
Well, yeah.
She must have.
Yeah. I'm guessing Donald Trump is kind of going, maybe that's why he canceled.
Maybe.
Didn't want to get taped again. Yeah. But here's my prediction. You know these, you know, when Jeff DeWitt was saying, you know, these powerful people back east. You know,
yeah, the Mitch McConnells of the world.
I'm going to predict that this was actually Trump world. That if it ever comes out who the people were, it's people close to Trump.
Okay, because I never really even thought of that until we started talking about this, and I think you're right.
Because I think Trump and people around Trump have figured out that Lake is likely to be a drag on
Trump land.
Trump on the ticket.
On the Trump train, as we said.
Because if it's a three-way race, she's going to get 30-something percent.
Yeah. She's locked into maybe less, 25.
Well, let's assume it's third. Let's give her a third.
Yeah.
It's 33.3%.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That's her base. If that's what Trump's at, he loses. So he has to outperform her significantly.
Yeah.
So it's not good for him to have her on the ticket in a three-way race. And I think that they recognize that. And so their thought was, hey, let Trump win. Then you can go run for governor again. You know, whatever.
You know, I think that's a very astute analysis and assessment. I never had considered that the people, as you said quite well, the people back east.
It doesn't, I mean, you.
I immediately went to, oh, it's the Mitch McConnell Republican Majority Fund, blah, blah, blah. No, it could be the Trump people
who has the most to lose.
And your point last week, which was most excellent, was, this isn't the same Trump campaign.
No.
The people running this campaign are not the ne'er-do-wells, fly-by-night, you know, ready-fire-aim people that we had before.
These are real operatives who look at real data, understand the way politics works. This isn't a popularity contest. So for her, you know, it was so, I mean, you're right about the whole, like, prepared responses.
Oh,
the people love me. I'm so popular. I'm the most popular Republican in the state. I'm like, really? Tell Kimberly Yee that, who got 56% of the vote.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
And now is torpedoing the governor.
Yeah.
And her initiatives.
I mean, it just, this was not a smart move.
No, it was. And anybody who doesn't listen to that tape and doesn't think she had it all planned, you must be smoking something.
Yeah.
you know, this was not because the other tell is she had to catch a flight to CPAC, you know, the grifter pack, conservative grifters of America, and go to CPAC. And in her speech at CPAC, she mentioned that somebody tried to bribe her.
Right.
So immediately, Jeff DeWitt's got to be like, what the what?
Yeah. Right.
Like, what the what?
I'm sure,
did he ever go back to her and go, what was that speech?
That's a great question.
What was that speech about?
She worked for him.
Yes. Like, what the heck was the speech about?
She was working for his company.
Because he must have gone to CPAC. Or maybe not, but he must have heard about it. So if he's, you gotta think what was he thinking after her big CPAC speech?
Well, and that's the other thing is that the waiting 10 months to release the tape is just it's so slimy. It's a little bit crazy.
No, it's not good. Not a good look, Carrie Lake.
So my take on this is that this was a way that, you know, she wanted to juice fundraising numbers, you know, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, that might be the case. But I think, again, I think the middle lane for Kyrsten Sinema is wide open.
Strategic error. So speaking of fundraising numbers, you have numbers came out, end of year numbers came out. Trump raised, for his campaign, raised $17 million in the last quarter. Biden,
not a lot of money,
raised $33
million. Yeah.
And there's a truckload of money being raised on the outside committees that's being used for Trump's legal bills.
Yeah.
He spent $25 million in this last quarter on legal bills.
Who's going to pay the woman, the $85 million judgment?
He's going to have to divest some property if that goes through. I don't know.
That should give everyone pause. Well, that's just complete BS.
It's I think
we don't need to get into his legal problems, but that's just ridiculous.
It's a problem. It's hanging over his head. He's got a lot of issues to deal with. But the
fundraising numbers, to your point, are paltry.
Well, I mean, Nikki Haley raised, actually, he might have raised a little bit more than 17. Nikki Haley raised $17 million in the last quarter.
Okay.
And so he may.
Well, she's going to raise more money here in the next month.
Maybe.
I would be surprised if she doesn't.
Well, I think that the big funders are starting to, well, there's a couple of them that are going to RFK Jr.
Well, RFK is definitely going to play a part in this. We said it last week. The third-party candidates, don't count them out. They will decide this election.
There's going to be an impact that we don't quite understand yet. Yeah. I mean, we just don't understand.
I mean, there are enough Democrats who do not like Joe Biden, do not like the fact that he's running. There are enough Republicans who don't like Donald Trump, don't like the fact that he's running. Right. The negatives on both of them are very, very high. And so where are you going to go?
But Chris, what you're not recognizing,
okay,
what you're missing.
I'm missing something.
Is that Joe Biden's going to be the next president because Taylor Swift is going to endorse him. And it's going to be this miracle endorsement because the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are going to get engaged. And then they're going to do a joint endorsement of Joe Biden. That's going to miraculously...
And the vaccines.
Don't
forget the flu shot and the vaccines.
I mean, it doesn't matter that Taylor Swift endorsed Biden in 2020. Okay.
I heard a statistic on this. She did like a get out the vote thing and only got like 35,000.
Well, she did a voter registration.
Yeah, voter registration thing. Deal.
Well,
and
I
she's
mean, 35,000,
got,
that's...
She's got like a billion followers.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah. I mean, look, 35,000. I'm not going to... That's not a small amount. I mean... I know how hard voter registration is.
You know, I don't know if I can go negative on Taylor Swift on this podcast with the females that are in my house.
Well,
who follow her every movement.
I enjoy Taylor Swift's music.
And I know some people around her orbit who I'm actually close to. So I'm not going to go totally negative on
it. No, what I'm saying is that...
But I think the NFL is using Taylor Swift.
Well, yeah, they're using her. I mean, this is brilliant public
relations.
Lead
editorial in the Daily Wire by Candace Owens.
I didn't see that. Yeah. But the fact that they are selling truckloads of women's jerseys now.
Well, I mean, and she has a concert the night before in Japan.
Yeah,
she's gonna fly right back.
She's gonna get on her.
But I think everyone is just discounting the real story of the Super Bowl, and it's not Taylor Swift.
It's not.
No, it's Brock Purdy.
No, that's true. The
real story of the Super Bowl is Mr. Local Kid.
Local Kid from Gilbert.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy. Oh, my goodness.
This guy was the dead last pick in the draft.
In the draft.
And he is now starting in a Super Bowl at the ripe old age of 24, 25.
Oh, yeah.
He's a kid.
He's a kid. And the kid who should have won the Heisman, but he went to Stanford, unfortunately, that doesn't get involved in hyping out their players, Christian McCaffrey, has been nothing but like...
That guy is
this guy,
amazing.
I mean, between the two of them, and San Francisco is going to give Kansas City a run for their money.
I mean,
and if Kansas City keeps reading their press with regard to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, watch out.
I mean, it's going to... Look, the Chiefs are way more distracted than the 49ers.
There's plenty of talent on the Chiefs. They're an amazing organization. Cheers to Andy Reid, who was in limbo at Philadelphia forever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hit the jackpot at KC. But Brock Purdy, God-fearing, Christ-loving, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, making some plays this last weekend that were just...
Yeah.
I was like, take that, Stephen A. Smith. You, I mean, just.
No, this will be. I
scampering.
Think,
Somebody I said think he scampers.
This will be like, a yeah. fun game.
He scampered from 17 points down.
I'm going to be rooting for the 49ers, even though I do like Taylor Swift. But I think this all this discussion about Taylor Swift and on the our side has gone crazy.
Yes.
This whole like, yeah. this is a psyop. No, it's a PR stunt.
Of course.
And it has nothing to do with Biden. Hey, Who the freak cares?
I mean, if Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are truly in love, truly
they're
meant
not.
To be together.
It's all a PR.
But maybe if he loses, you want the benefit of that. If Kelce loses and they break up, we're going to get a number one hit right out of Taylor Swift again.
That's right.
We are going to get a blockbuster
yeah, it won't happen
song
if they win.
About a breakup in her life
right.
that is more meaningful, more purposeful than the rest.
Well, that's true because I've read in the tabloids.
My daughter's going to listen to this. She's going to be so mad at me because I bring that up all the time. I'm like, so what do you think it's going to be called? The number one Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce breakup song. What do you think it's going to be called?
It's going to be called Red.
It's coming. It's going to be called...
You Make Me See Red. So I read in the tabloids that their Christmas was a little tense.
Oh.
They had their first big fight because
oh, wow.
they had lost, you know, the Chiefs had lost their game before Christmas.
Yeah.
And Travis wasn't in a good mood. So he loses the Super Bowl. It could be the end.
There's not going to be,
could be
a,
the end.
A field proposal. It's going to be, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, this was fun.
Woo. And then hop on your plane, go back to Japan.
You know, well, maybe strategically, that's why she's going to be out of the country because she
yeah.
knows that the breakup is coming.
Well, we'll have to talk next week more about the actual game and what to expect.
Yeah, we will. We don't talk about sports here very often.
No, but this is a good reason to.
But I agree with you on the with the conservative like freak out. It's
yeah,
getting a little old and weird.
It's weird. It's weird. The CIA is not involved. The Department of Defense is not involved. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It's all about the money.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about selling
the
jerseys.
The NFL
and
is selling more jerseys to women than they've ever done before. Thank you, Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always people. It's about the money.
It's about the money.
Follow the money.
Our good friend David Schweikert says all the time.
Yep.
How many? I'll call him up about something. He'll be like, "How many times have we had this discussion, Chris?"
Follow the money.
It's all about the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money. And then you'll know why it's happening.
Right. Exactly. All right. With that,
we've run out of time.
Follow the money. Take care.
God bless.
God bless.